Good morning and welcome to CCNA Discovery Networking for Home and Small Business, Module 6 for 2010. The network is facing new challenges and must offer more services than ever before. Video, music and diagrams are shared from large servers all over the world. Television, movies and voice conversations can be streamed over the network, connecting to remote locations in ways never imagined. Even in small businesses, can reach customers at any time, in any place. In this chapter, you will learn how these popular services are delivered. After completion of this chapter, you should be able to compare and contrast clients and servers and their interaction over the network. Describe the type of interactions on internet applications. Describe purposes of a layered model. Illustrate the interaction of various protocols. Logging onto the internet using a web browser is an example of a client-server interaction that occurs millions of times a day around the world. These interactions, however, are fraught with danger, both client and server alike. As like there was an example of the Mozilla had a security gap in it when it was in 1.5. Adobe confirms critical reader Acrobat exploits, Internet Explorer security problems. Multiply web browsers may be the most commonly used category of client server software, allowing connections to servers around the globe, providing us with information, goods and services. The widespread use of web browser client software makes it attractive to hackers who capitalized on security flaws in browser running on millions of clients. In 2006, IBM experts noted that on average, each day of 2006 brought 20 new vulnerabilities. More than 88% of 2006 vulnerabilities could be exploited remotely, and more than half of them allowed attackers to gain access to a machine. Some security experts believe that daily attacks may more than double in 2007 and subsequent years. Despite some myths about browser security, all web browser client software is vulnerable to attack. A recent flaw in one browser allowed sites to appear as if they were connecting to a bank, when in fact they were sending and receiving data from an attacker. Malware writes, so named because they write malicious software, may use the IP address of a client or host to tailor the content they attempt to deliver. For example, if the server software detects that you purchased consistently from EB Games, they will send you a phishing attempt from EB Games in the attempt to capture your personal information, such as your credit card data. Webopedia defines phishing as the act of sending an email to a user falsely claiming to be an established legitimate enterprise in an attempt to scam the user into surrendering private information, that will be used to identify theft for identity theft. And you can check that information on www.webopedia.com. It has also become easier for attackers to use vulnerabilities in browser programs to build engines on web servers that detect what type of software an individual is using. They can launch malware programs that can take advantage of applications with holes that they have discovered. Understanding the client-server relationship is the first step toward keeping home and small office computers safe from outside hackers. Every day, people use the services available over networks and the internet to communicate with others and to perform routine tasks. We rarely think of servers, clients, and networking devices that are necessary in order for us to receive an email, enter information into a blog, or shop for the best bargains on the online store. Most of the commonly used internet applications rely on complicated interactions between various different servers and clients. The term server refers to a host running software application that provides information or services to other hosts connected to the network. A well-known example of an application is a web server. There are millions of servers connected to the internet, providing services such as websites, email, financial transactions and music downloads, etc. A factor that is crucial to enabling these complex interactions to function is that they are all use agreed standards and protocols. The key characteristics of client-server systems is that the client sends a request to a server and the server responds by carrying out a function, such as sending information back to the client. The combination of a web browser and a web server is perhaps the most commonly used instance of a client-server system. Some descriptions of servers are like the domain name server or DNS. This service provides the IP address of a website or domain so that a host can connect to it. So it resolves the IP address to the domain name. Telnet server. This service allows administrators to log into a host from a remote location and control the host as though it were logged in locally, which you'll do actually later on through the course because you'll be logging into the remote bundle that is set up at either Curtin or the Association for the Blind in Western Australia. An email server uses Simple Mail Transfer Protocol, or SMTP, and Post Office Protocol, POP3, Internet Message Access Protocol, IMAP, used to send email messages from clients to servers over the internet. Recipients are specified using the username, then the at symbol, then the server name, and then .com.au or .net.au, if it's in Australia, as an example. DHCP, or Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol, is another server. This service assigns an IP address, subnet mask, default gateway, and other information to clients. A web server uses Hypertext Transfer Protocol, that's HTTP, used to transfer information between web clients and web servers. Most web pages are accessed using HTTP. FTP, or File Transfer Protocol. This service allows for download and upload of files between a client and a server. Just like when I'm uploading your audio and other files to QCAT. Role of protocols in client and server communication. A web server and web client use specific protocols and standards in the process of exchanging information to ensure that the messages are received and understood. These protocols cover application, transport, internet work, and network access protocols. The application protocol uses Hypertext Transfer Protocol, or HTTP, which governs the way that the web server and web client interact. HTTP defines the format of the requests and responses exchanged between the client and the server. HTTP relies on the protocols to govern how the messages and transport and are transported between client and server. Transport protocol. Transmission Control Protocol, or TCP, is the transport protocol that manages the individual conversations between web servers and web clients. TCP formats the HTTP messages into segments to be sent to the destination host. It provides flow control and acknowledgement of packets exchanged between hosts. IP, or Internet Work Protocol. The most common Internet Work Protocol is Internet Protocol IP. IP is responsible for taking the formatted segments from TCP, assigning the logical addressing, and encapsulating them into packets for routing to the destination host. Network access protocols. Ethernet is the most commonly used protocol for local networks. Network access protocols perform two primary functions: data link management and physical network transmissions. Data link management protocols take the packets from IP and encapsulate them into the appropriate frame format for the local network. These protocols assign the physical addresses to the frames and prepare them to be transmitted over the network. The standards and protocols for physical media govern how the bits are represented on the media, how the signals are sent over the media, and how they are interpreted by the receiving hosts. Network interface cards implement the appropriate protocols for the media that is being used. TCP and UDP protocols. Each service available over the network has its own application protocols that are implemented in the server and client software. In addition to the application protocols, all of the common internet services use the Internet Protocol IP. to address and route messages between source and destination. IP is concerned only with the structure, addressing and routing of packets. It does not specify how the delivery of transportation of the packets takes place. Transport protocols specify how to transfer messages between hosts. The two most common transport protocols are Transmission Control Protocol, TCP, and User Datagram Protocol, UDP. The IP protocol uses the transport protocols to enable hosts to communicate and transfer data. When an application requires acknowledgement that a message is delivered, it uses TCP. This is similar to sending a registered letter through the postal system, where the recipient must sign for the letter to acknowledge its receipt. TCP breaks up messages into small pieces known as segments. The segments are numbered in sequence and passed to IP process for assembly into packets. TCP keeps track of the number of segments that have been sent to a specific host from a specific application. If the sender does not receive an acknowledgement within a certain period of time, it assumes that the segments were lost and retransmits them. Only the portion of the message that is lost is resent, not the entire message. On the receiving host, TCP is responsible for reassembling the message segments and passing them to the application. FTP and HTTP are examples of applications that use TCP to ensure delivery of data. In some cases, the TCP acknowledgement protocol is not required and actually slows down information transfer. In those cases, UDP may be a more appropriate transport port protocol. UDP is a best effort delivery system that does not require acknowledgement of receipt. A good example of where you'd use, where UDP is used for the transport protocol, is in Skype when you're having a voice chat or a video chat. And if someone's uploading or downloading at the time and it breaks up, where you're getting sound, that's the packet loss, because UDP is a best effort delivery. This is similar to sending a standard letter through the postal system. It is not guaranteed that the letter is received, but the chances are good. UDP is preferable with applications such as streaming audio, video, and voice over IP, which is the internet telephony service. Acknowledgements would slow down delivery, and retransmissions are undesirable. An example of an application that uses UDP is internet radio and Skype or MSN when you're chatting via voice or webcam. If some of the message is lost during its journey over the network, it is not retransmitted. If a few packets are missed, the listener may hear a slight break in the sound. Or if you're downloading too much, you'll be able to understand it at all. If TCP were used and the lost packets were resent, the transmission would pause to receive them and the disruption would be more noticeable. TCP and IP port numbers. When a message is delivered using either TCP or UDP, the protocols and services requested are identified by a port number. A port is a numeric identifier within each segment that is used to keep track of specific conversations and destination services requested. Every message that a host sends contains both a source and destination port. The destination port, the client places a destination port number in the segment to tell the destination server what service is being requested. For example, port 80 refers to the HTTP or web service. When a client specifies port 80 in the destination port, the server that receives the message knows that the web services are being requested. A server can offer more than one service simultaneously. For example, a server can offer web services on port 80 at the same time that it offers FTP connection on establishment on port 21. Source port. The source port number is randomly generated by the sending device to identify a conversation between two devices. This allows multiple conversations to occur simultaneously. In other words, multiple devices can request HTTP services from a web server at the same time. The separate conversations are tracked based on source ports. The source and destination ports are placed within the segment. The segments are then encapsulated within the packet. The IP packet contains the IP address of the source and destination. The combination of the source and destination IP address and the source and destination port number is known as a socket. The socket is used to identify the server and service being requested by the client. Every day, thousands of hosts communicate with thousands of different servers. These communications are identified by sockets. DNS or domain name servers. Thousands of servers installed in many different locations provide the services we use daily over the internet. Each of these servers is assigned a unique IP address that identifies it on the local network where it is connected. It would be impossible to remember all of the IP addresses for all of the servers hosting services on the internet. Instead, there's an easier way to locate servers by associating a name with an IP address. The domain name system or DNS provides a way for hosts to use this name to request the IP address of a specific server. DNS names are registered and organized on the internet within specific high-level groups or domains. Some of the most common high-level domains on the internet are .com, .edu, or .net. A DNS server contains a table that associates host names in a domain with the corresponding IP addresses. When a client has the names of a server, such as a web server, but it needs to find the IP address, it sends a request to the DNS server on port 53. The client uses the IP address of the DNS server configured in the DNS settings of the host's IP configuration. When the DNS server receives the request, it checks its table to determine the IP address associated with that web server. If the local DNS server does not have an entry for that requested name, it queries another DNS server within the domain. Excuse me. When the DNS server learns the IP address, the information is sent back to the client. If the DNS server cannot determine the IP address, the request will time out and the client will not be able to communicate with the web server. Say you've misspelt a website address and it comes back unable to connect to this server, either the name's wrong and so on, or your internet's down. Client server software with the DNS protocols to attain IP addresses in a way that is transparent to the user. Web clients and servers. When a web client receives the IP address of the web server, the client browser uses the IP address and port 80 to request the web services. This is sent to the server using the Hypertext Transfer Protocol, or HTTP. When the server receives a port 80 request, the server responds to the client request and sends the web page to the client. The information content of the web page is encoded using specialized markup languages such as HTML, or Hypertext Markup Language, is the most commonly used, but others such as XML and XHTML are gaining popularity. The HTTP protocol is not a secure protocol. Information could easily be intercepted by users as it is sent over the network. In order to provide security for the data, HTTP can be used in secure transfer protocols. Requests for secure HTTP are sent through port 443. The requests require the use of HTTPS in the site address in the browser rather than HTTP. There are many different web services and web clients available on the market. The HTTP protocol and HTML make it possible for these servers and clients from many different manufacturers to work seamlessly together. What role does HTTP play when a web browser address is entered into the web browser? It defines message content, determines message format and transmission, and actions to take in response to various commands. What role does TCP play when a web browser address is entered into the browser? It formats the HTTP messages into segments, responsibility for flow control, acknowledgement between two hosts, and the reassembly of the message segments. What role does the Internet Work Protocol play when a web browser address is entered into the web browser? It takes the formatted segments from TCP, assigns a logical addressing, and encapsulates them into packets for routing to the destination host. What role does the network access protocol play when a web browser, when a web address is entered into the browser? The data link management protocols encapsulate the packets into the appropriate frames and physical transmission to the data. The web address is handled by HTTP. HTTP is used by browser software to connect to the client and the server that holds the requested website. TCP formats the messages into segments and reassembles the data into proper form when it reaches the destination. IP assigns the logical addresses and encapsulates the packets for routing, with the network access protocol putting the packets into frames and physical transmitting of the data. FTP clients and servers. In addition to web services, another common service used across the internet is one that uses the transfer to transfer files. The File Transfer Protocol, or FTP, provides an easy method to transfer files from one computer to another. A host running FTP software can access FTP server to perform various file management functions, including file uploads and downloads. The FTP server enables a client to exchange files between devices. It also enables clients to manage files remotely by sending file management commands such as delete or rename. To accomplish this, the FTP service uses two different ports to communicate between client and server. Requests to begin an FTP session are sent to the server using the destination port 21. Once the session is open, the server will change to port 20 to transfer the data files. FTP client software is built into computer operating systems and into most web browsers. Standalone FTP clients offer many options in an easy-to-use GUI or graphical user interface-based interface. Email clients and servers. Email is one of the most popular client-server applications on the internet. Email servers run server software that enables them to interact with clients and with other email servers over the network. Each email server receives and stores mail for users who have mailboxes configured on the mail server. Each user with a mailbox must then use an email client to access the mail server and read the messages, such as Outlook Express or Mozilla Thunderbird. And an old email client that I use called Eudora is another example. Mail servers are also used to send mail addressed to local mailboxes or mailboxes located on other email servers. Mailboxes are identified in the format of the username, the at symbol, the company name, and the domain. Various application protocols used in processing email include SMTP or Simple Mail Transfer Protocol or POP3 or Post Office Protocol version 3 or the IMAP version 4 protocol? Simple Mail Transfer Protocol or SMTP is used by an email client to send messages to its local email server. When the local server then decides if the message is destined for a local mailbox or if the message is addressed to a mailbox to another server. If the server has to send the message to a different server, SMTP is used between the two servers as well. SMTP requests are sent to port 25. I have actually sent everybody a protocol list which identifies all these main protocols. Post Office Protocol or POP3, a server that supports POP3 clients receives and stores messages addressed to its users. When the client connects to the email server, the messages are downloaded to the client. By default, messages are not kept on the server after they have been accessed by the client. Clients contact POP3 servers on port 110. Internet Message Access Protocol or IMAP 4. A server that supports IMAP clients also receives and stores messages addressed to its users. However, it keeps the messages in the mailboxes on the server unless they are deleted by the user. The most current version of IMAP is IMAP version 4, which listens to client and request on port 143. Many different email servers exist for the various network operating system platforms. An email client connects to the mail server to download and view messages. Most email clients can be configured to use either POP3 or IMAP, depending on the email server where the mailbox is located. Email clients must also be able to send email to the server using SMTP. Different email servers can be configured for incoming and outgoing mail. The following are typical entries when configuring an email client, which is the POP3 or IMAP server name, which is generally mail dot the service provider's name dot whatever, and the SMTP server name, generally that's the same as the POP3 name, the customer's username and their password. And they also generally have spam filters or virus filters for the on the email client. POP3 email account settings window found in Microsoft Outlook. The window has fields where pertinent information about the user's email account is entered. The fields in this window are listed. And they are the user information, is the user's name, and the email address of the user, and the logon information with the username and password, and the server information for the incoming and outgoing mail servers. And of course, the test button to test the settings to make sure that you haven't mistyped any of the information incorrectly. Instant messaging, or IM, is one of the most popular communication tools used today. Instant messaging or IM software is run locally on each computer and allows users to communicate or chat over the internet in real time. Many different IM applications are available from various companies. Each instant message service can use a different protocol and destination port, so two hosts must have compatible IM software installed for them to communicate. IM applications require minimal configuration to operate. Once the client is downloaded, all that is required is to enter the username and password information. This allows the IM client to authenticate to the IM network. Once logged onto the server, clients can send messages to other clients in real time. In addition to text messages, IM supports the transfer of video, music, and speech files. IM clients may have a telephony feature, which allows users to make phone calls over the internet. Additional configuration can be done to customize the IM client with contact lists and a personal feel and look. IM client software can be downloaded and used on all types of hosts, including computers, mobile phones, and PDAs. Voice clients and servers. Making telephone calls over the internet is becoming increasingly popular and saves a lot of money too. An internet telephony client uses peer-to-peer technology similar to that used by instant messaging. IP telephony makes use of voice over IP or VoIP technology, which uses the IP packets to carry digitized voice as data. To start using the internet telephone, download the client software from one of the companies that provides the service. Rates for the internet telephony service can vary greatly between regions and providers. When the software has to be installed, the user selects a unique name. This is so that calls can be received from other users. Speakers and a microphone built in or separate are required. A headset is frequently plugged into the computer to serve as a phone. Calls are made to other users of the same service on the internet by selecting the username from the list. A call to a regular telephone or landline or cell phone requires the use of a gateway to access the public switch telephone network or PSTN. The protocols and destination ports used by internet telephony applications can vary based on the software. With a variety of web scenarios, for example, downloading software updates, songs from LimeWire, or sending email, etc., would downloading a software update be handled by TCP or UDP? Can someone give me what they would think, whether it would be TCP or UDP if you're downloading a software update?
TCP?
Yep, that's right, because you're needing a receipt and acknowledgement, because it's an important data, whereas If you're using, say, Skype as an example, where you're only chatting, you're not concerned about the data being received and sent, because it's only a best effort protocol, whereas TCP requires the receipt and acknowledgement of the data at each end. Does that make sense to everyone? Yes, no, maybe.
I will discuss with Dushyant. For the moment, for the time being, of course, I have no sense.
Okay, well, TCP requires it synchronizes the files with an acknowledgement and a receipt of each packet. So if you're sending data, say you're sending a file as an example, or you're on a website where you want all the information on the website, that's handled by TCP. Where if you're not concerned about every packet being received, then you use UDP because it's a best effort protocol. Right, well, moving on. Port numbers, DNS, web, email, and FTP, IM, and VoIP are just some of the services provided by client server systems over the internet. These services may be provided by a single server or by several servers. In either case, it is necessary for a server to know which service is being requested by a client. Client requests can be identified because the request is made to a specific destination port. Clients are pre-configured to use a destination port that is registered on the internet for each service. Ports are broken into three categories and range in number from 1 to 65,535. Ports are assigned and managed by an organization known as the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, or ICANN. Well-known ports, destination ports that are associated with common network applications are identified as well-known ports. These ports are in the range of 1 to 1023. Registered ports are from 1024 to 49,151, can be used either as either source or destination ports. These can be used by organizations to register specific applications, such as IM applications. Private ports are from 49,152 through to 65,535, often used as source ports. These ports can be used in any application. Some common port numbers and their protocols are as port 20 for FTP for the data side with the file transfer protocol, and port 21 for FTP for the control of file transfer protocol to establish the connection. Port 23 for Telnet for logging in remotely into a network. Or port 25 for SMTP or Simple Mail Transfer Protocol. Or port 53 for DNS, Domain Name Service. Port 67 for DHCP version 4. Client dynamic host configuration protocol. Well, port 68 for DHCP for the server. Or port 69 for TFTP for trivial file transfer protocol. And many others listed. They are some of the main ones. Layered model and protocol. Protocol interaction, successful communication between hosts requires interaction between a number of protocols. These protocols are implemented in software and hardware that is loaded on each host and network device. The interaction between protocols can be depicted as protocol stack. It shows the protocols as a layered hierarchy, with each higher level protocol depending on the services of the protocol shown in the lower levels. Protocol stack with the primary protocols necessary to run a web server over Ethernet. The lower layers of the stack are concerned with moving data over the network and providing services to the upper layers. The upper layers are focused more on the content of the message being sent and the user interface. To visualize the interaction between various protocols, it is common to use a layered model. A layered model depicts the operation of the protocols occurring within each layer, as well as the interaction with the layers above and below. The layered model has many benefits, such as it assists in protocol design, because protocols that operate at a specific layer have defined information that they act upon and a defined interface to the layers above and below. Fosters competition between products from different vendors can work together. Prevents technology or capable changes in one layer from affecting other layers above and below. Provides a common language to describe networking functions and capabilities. The first layer reference model for internet work communications was created in the early 1970s and is referred to as the internet model. It defines four categories of functions that must occur for communications to be successful. The architecture of the TCP/IP protocols follows the structure of this model. Because of this, the internet model is commonly referred to as the TCP/IP model. Information about the layers in a layered reference model. Layer 4 application layer consists of applications and processes that use the network. Layer 3, the transport layer, provides end-to-end data delivery services. Layer 2, the internet layer, defines the datagram and handles the routing of data. And layer 1, network access layer, provides routines for accessing physical media. Protocol operation of sending and receiving of a message. When sending messages on a network to protocol stack on a host operates from top to bottom. In the web server example, a browser on the the client request a web page from a web server on destination port 80. This starts the process of sending the web page to the client. As the web page is sent down the web server protocol stack, the application data is broken into TCP segments. Each TCP segment is given a header containing a source and destination port. The TCP segment encapsulates the HTTP protocol and web page HTML user data and sends it down to the next protocol layer, which is IP. Here, the TCP segment is encapsulated within an IP packet, which adds an IP header. The IP header contains the source and destination IP addresses. Next, the IP packet is sent to the Ethernet protocol, where it is encapsulated into a frame, header, and trailer. Each Ethernet frame header contains a source and destination MAC address. The trailer contains error checking information. Finally, the bits are encoded onto the Ethernet media, copper or fiber optic cable, by the server NIC. When messages are received from the network, the protocol stack on a host operates from top to bottom. Previously, we saw the process of encapsulation at each layer when the web server sent the web page to the client. The process of receiving the web page starts the de-encapsulation of the message by the client. As the bits are received by the client NIC, they are decoded and the destination MAC address is recognized by the client as its own. The frame is sent up the web client protocol stack, where the Ethernet header source and destination MAC addresses and trailer are removed, de-encapsulated. The remaining IP packet and contents are passed up the IP layer. At the IP layer, the IP header, source and destination IP addresses, is removed and the contents passed up the TCP layer. At the TCP layer, the TCP header, source and destination ports is removed and the web page user data contents are passed up to the browser application using HTTP. As TCP segments are received, they are reassembled to create the web page. The Open Systems Interconnect Model. The Open Systems Interconnect Model, or the OSI reference model, was developed by the International Organization for Standardization, ISO, in 1984. Unlike the TCP/IP model, it does not specify the interaction of any specific protocols. It was created as architectures for developers to follow to design protocols for network communications. Although very few protocol stacks exactly implement the seven layers of the OSI reference model, it is now considered the primary reference model for intercomputer communication. The OSI reference model includes all functions or tasks associated with internetwork communications, not just those related to the TCP/IP protocols. Compared to the TCP/IP model, which only has four layers, the OSI reference model organization, excuse me, organizes the task into seven more specific groups. A task or group of tasks is then assigned to each of the seven OSI layer, reference model layers. The essence of the protocol stacks in the separation of organization of essential functions. The separation of functions enables each layer in the stack to operate independently of each other. For example, it is feasible for a website to be accessed from a laptop computer connected to a cable modem at home, or from a laptop using wireless or a web-enabled mobile phone. An application layer operates seamlessly regardless of the way the lower layers are operating. In the same way the lower layers operate seamlessly, for example, an internet connection functions satisfactorily when a variety of applications are running at the same time, such as email, web browsing, internet messaging, and music downloads, etc. The layers of the Open System Interconnect, or the OSI reference model, the application layer defines interfaces between application software and network communication functions, provides standardized services such as file transfer between systems. The presentation layer standardizes user data formats for use between different types of systems, encodes and decodes user data, encrypts and decrypts data, compresses and decompresses data. The session layer manages user sessions and dialogues, maintains logical links between systems, whereas the transport layer manages end-to-end message delivery over the network, can provide reliable and sequential packet delivery through error recovery and flow control. Whereas the network layer routes packets according to unique network device addresses, and the data link layer defines procedures for operating the communication links, detects and corrects frames transmission errors. And lastly, the physical layer defines physical means of sending data over the network devices, interfaces between network medium and devices, defines optical, electrical, and mechanical characteristics. So in summary, this chapter discussed the client-server relationship for the most common services, such as HTTP for your web services, like FTP for file transfer, DNS for resolving domain names from IP addresses, and email. Servers are hosts that run software to enable them to provide services to other hosts over the network. Application protocols determine how servers and clients interact and exchange information with each other. Transfer protocols such as TCP or Transfer Control Protocol and User Datagram Protocol, UDP, define port numbers to manage the individual conversations between servers and clients. Internet Protocol IP specifies how data is encapsulated into packets on the logical addressing. Network address protocols such as Ethernet describe two primary functions: data link management and physical network transmission. DNS, or domain name server, a server that provides the IP address of a URL or domain name so a host can connect to it. DNS names are registered and organized on the internet within specific high-level groups or domains. Some of the most common high-level domains are your .com, .net, .edu, and so on. The DHCP, or Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol, server assigns the IP address, subnet mask, default gateway, and other information to the client. FTP, or File Transfer Service, this service allows for the download and upload of files between a client and server, whereas an email server sends and receives and stores mail in user mailboxes located on the server using simple mail transfer protocol, excuse me, or SMTP to send mail. Clients use post office protocol, or POP3, or internet mail access protocol to retrieve their mail. Recipients are specified using the username followed by the @ symbol and the domain name, and so on. Whereas web server, this service is used for transfer information between web clients and web servers. Most web pages are accessed using HTTP, or hypertext transfer protocol, from servers using port 80. Whereas HTTP is not a secure service, requests for secure HTTP are sent on port 443. These requests require the use of https://. Telnet service that allows administrators to log into a host from a remote location and control the host as though they were logged in locally. Then you've got your instant messaging. IAM client software is loaded on the host computers. Once IAM clients authenticate with the server, they can send messages to other clients in real time, or transfer video, music, and speech files. Whereas IP telephony, an internet telephony client, uses peer-to-peer technology similar to that used by instant messaging, and it uses the UDP protocol. IP telephony makes use of voice over IP technology, which uses IP packets to carry digitized voice as data. The TCP/IP protocol stack has the following protocols: HTTP, TCP, IP, and Ethernet protocol. The OSI reference model has the following layers: application layer, presentation layer, session, transport, network layer, data link layer, and physical. A handy mnemonic to remember the layers is, please do not throw sausage pizza away, or back the other way, all people seem to need data processing. The seven layers of the OSI reference model: physical equals binary transmission with wires, connectors, voltages and data rates. Layer 2, the data link layer. Data link control, access to media, provides connectivity and path selection between two hosts, provides logical address, no error correction, best effort delivery. There's layer 3, the network layer, network address, best path determination, provides reliable transfer of data across media, physical addressing, network topology, error notification, and flow control. The layer 4, the transport layer, end-to-end connections concerned with transportation issues between hosts, data transfer reliability, establish, maintain, terminate virtual circuits, fault detection and recovery, information flow control. Layer 5, the session layer. Internet host communication establishes, manages and terminates sessions between applications. And finally, and the layer 6, the presentation layer. Data representation. Ensure data is reliable by receiving system. Format of data, data structure, negotiates data transfer syntax for application layer. And finally, layer 7, the application layer, network processes to application, provides network services to application processes, such as electronic mail, file transfer, and terminal emulation. An example of peer-to-peer communication using the OSI reference model. Both the destination and source machines are linked by the medium physical connection between the host. Types of information communicated between layers in the naming convention, the layer 7, the application layer, the data flows. Layer 6, presentation, the data flows. Layer 5, session, the data flows. Layer 4, the transport segment flow. Layer 3, the network packets flow. Layer 2, the data link frames flow. And layer 1, the physical bits flow. A protocol stack organizes the protocols as a layered hierarchy with each higher level protocol depending on the service of the protocol shown in the lower layers. The benefits to use a layered approach include of the following. Assists and simplifies protocol design. Allows products from different vendors to work together. Prevents technology or capability changes in one layer from affecting other layers above or below. When sending messages, the protocol stack on a host operates from top to bottom. Each layer encapsulates information and passes it to the layer below. The process is reversed on the receiving host. The two hierarchical network models are the OSI reference model with its 7 layers and the TCP/IP model with its 4 layers. The OSI reference model includes all functions or tasks associated with internetwork communications, not just the related to the TCP/IP protocols. The OSI reference model is considered the primary reference model for internet computer communications.